real relaxed tonight. So if we had a fire, just pretend we got a fire and we're having a fireside chat with Dave, hopefully inspired by Jesus. Okay, can you do that? Can you use your imagination? And he's an all-consuming fire. I pray that you meet the all-consuming fire. He burns out everything that's not of him, and he fortifies everything that is. It's my prayer for you. And so I have just embarked on my 30th year of ministry, full-time ministry. Obviously, by the accent, those that haven't met me, I'm not from Perth. I was born and raised in a place called New York, and God brought me here. And I got saved when I was 5 in the Catholic ranks, in the midst of a charismatic movement that was absolutely staggering. It brought in all these people from different walks of life and rocked the atheists and the Satanists and the Methodists and JWs and Mormons and all sorts of other isms and ists, and turned my town upside down in the Catholic Church. You know, God's got a sense of humor using the Catholic Church. And so I was 8th generation Catholic, and here I am, a Baptist pastor. Can you believe it? Everybody thought I wouldn't make it. Here I am. And so, you know, watching God move in tremendous power, I've been involved in a few renewals and what I would consider revivals, and spoken at from a platform setting and behind the scenes and mentoring leaders through different things. And the zany, you know, the wild, the pretend and the real. And in, you know, our circle of full gospel, in our what we call Pentecostal charismatic, depending on your view and experience, you know, circles, we have deemed gifting as the number one want to see manifestation in people's lives. And there's merit to that, but not number one. I actually am going to submit to you that character is more important than giftedness. Giftedness is absolutely imperative, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the last verse, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the first verse, it says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts are important. Spiritual gifts come from God. His name is Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts to men and women. It's all equal in God, right? So we don't want to forget the women. When I say men, I mean generalistic humanity. Don't get nervous. So it's men and women that God has earmarked before your conception, before creation took place. And God demonstrated his wonderful attribute of being creator. He earmarked for you a gift. Matter of fact, gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, those gifts are highlighted to your life, and you need to be trained in them by the Holy Spirit, and usually through a man or a woman. You call the title of leader in some way leads you into understanding how your gifts operate. And that's wonderful. And they are for today, but there's a greater, and that is character. See, your character will never go away, because God, in his infinite wisdom, is molding you into Christ-likeness. Now, you'll never be divine, and everybody thanks God you'll never be divine, because you probably use that power wrongly against your neighbor. So you'll never be divine. You're never going to be God. We're never going to worship you. We're never going to bow down to you. Hallelujah. But it says very clearly that God's got us on a track to mold us into Christ's image, and that's Christ-likeness. And being Christ-like, we call having character. See, the fruit is attached to maturity, and maturity is attached to being Christ-like. Your gifts are a thing called the dunamis, or the power of the Holy Spirit, and has nothing to do with your character. So you can move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and still be the greatest jerk we've ever met. How many believe that? I mean, never mind if you met the jerk. Right, so that doesn't equate if we can shun the Bacchae, Or we can lay hands on and see, and all, you know, the gift of wisdom and action and the words of knowledge, and I can, you know, tell, and God shows me your past, and you get healed from it. It's all wonderful, and it's all necessary. I'm here to tell you. But there's a necessary operation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How many were here this morning? If you had the privilege to hear Pastor Paul Lanham, who used to be on staff here 3 years ago, and unfortunately God led him in another direction, and he had to obey, and we had to watch him go. But he had an amazing message. If you can get on our website in about 3 or 4 days, the instrument, being an instrument of righteousness, which I thought he was going to preach my entire sermon, and he did. So I'm actually off my notes right now. This is my notes. So we're just going by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, in his ultimate plan, is for you to die being you and taking on the Christ-like character of Jesus in your life. That is the ultimate plan of your life. Now, you can be a brain surgeon, or you can be a cleaner, you can be a housewife, you can be a husband, you can be a post-hole digger, you can be a postman or a postwoman, right? But really, ultimately, he's molding you like clay. He is the potter. You are clay. And for, you know, clay to become dry is not moldable. There's no artisan, there's no person that works with clay that would want to use dry clay to mold a shape. It's impossible. And they have to use a thing called water. I mean, understand what water is. But how many understand what it is spiritually? Because the washing of the Word of God in our life, the living Word, who Jesus is, applied to our life, allows me to be pliable, allows me to be softened. The Holy Spirit, also like water, we need the Holy Spirit's interaction with our life to make us pliable, plausible, on his wheel to mold me into the image of Christ. So I have this wonderful thing called soul. Say soul. That is your mind, will, and emotions. That's what makes up your soul. And the older a person gets, this is what happens if they're not have the additive of water to their life. They get complainy, they get crabby, they get... So we don't want to be crabby, complainy old people. Have you ever met a crabby, complainy old person? It's not fun. You know, you don't want to really hang around them. You look for excuses to leave. What does that mean? That actually means that their soul has lost the ability to be permeable or to be moldable. They're set in their ways. There hasn't been the joy of the Lord added to their life to be the strength. And they have allowed their soul to rule them and take them in a way that is across the room of being Christ-like. Now, here's the amazing thing, is that God, in his infinite wisdom, has allowed this thing called free will to be a part of our life. Do you know most things that happen in the negative are avoidable? Usually our choices, you know, lend us to be in a position where our soul becomes hardened. Your soul can harden. It talks about our heart hardening. It's actually talking about the seat of our emotions, which is a part of our soul. So the Spirit of God gives us the fruit by the Holy Spirit, who is God, to introduce us into a position to be made into the image of God, Jesus Christ, and pleases God the Father's heart. Now, the three aren't separate, they're one. God is one. He wants us to be one with him, and how we're one with him is that we have this intimacy relationship extended. Have you ever talked about, you know, to someone that really wants to get saved, but they don't know how to get saved because you really don't tell them the gospel good news? The chick says, Jesus? Hey, it's Jesus that comes into our life and takes us and says, hey, you're not your own. You're actually bought with the blood of Christ. Accept the blood of Christ in your life so you can be a new man, a new woman. You can be transformed into the image of Christ. See, 2018, everybody thinks it's attached to 2019 and 2020. 2018, we're in a transition to get to 2019, which is attached to 2020. And to some of you, I just started speaking Greek. 2018 is a transition. It's the year of the clashing sword. That's why all hell is broken against most people. That's why it's a tough year. Because God's actually trying to cut away flesh from our lives that will prohibit us if we don't make a choice to be more formed into Christ-likeness character. We use words like integrity and honesty and righteousness and we're coming into, as I mentioned this morning, time in. We mentioned that this Thursday in the United States, there's this whole day dedicated to thankfulness. We call it Thanksgiving. It's always the third Thursday of the month of November. The date changes. The actual time does not. It's over 400 years that we've been celebrating as a nation. Just in the 1800s under Abraham Lincoln was it made a holiday for us as a people, where we come around food representing the harvest. God wants you to partake of the harvest that you've been hoping for in your family and your friends in your own life. You know, God gives us a thing called hope, which is an expectation. You don't hope for what you have. That's what Scripture says. If you have that water bottle, can I just borrow this? Okay, I promise I won't take a drink. This bottle, right, I don't have to hope for. I have it. 2018, very clearly, is a year where there are certain things being hoped for. But if you look in Psalm 18 and then marry that with Psalm 19 and then Psalm 20, you're going to find that there are going to be some things next year that you've hoped for that you will grasp. And God will give you new things to hope for. But there are things this year that you will obtain next year. You won't have to hope for them anymore in Christ. Hope is an expectation. And so God places within us a expectation, a hope that God will do and perform what he said he would do. And what he said he would do is this. He will complete what he started in your life. What does that completion look like? You'll look like Christ. You ever watch older couples look alike? They take on each other's appearance to the point where they look very much alike. Like you would think, wow, is this a weird marriage? Are they brother and sister? Is this gone nuts? What's going to happen? Are they all Tasmanian? God bless you, all Tasmanians. If you're from Tasmania, God bless you. So the thing is that with you know, God, there is a natural scientific thing that happens. You study it, where cells take on the likeness of cells that hang around. That's why the appearance changes. There's a phenomenon that happens. Dr. Robbie Sonderegger has amazing teaching on this, and Carol Leaf and others, and so science is advancing to the point that we're starting to understand certain things. And so as I hang out with the one my heart desires, Christ, as I have intimate relationship with Jesus, I become more like Jesus. My thinking changes as I get into Jesus' word called the Bible. As I get into the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, something amazing happens. He changes me, the Holy Spirit in my life. It says in Scripture, he poured the Holy Spirit in me so that I could be more like Christ. The Holy Spirit does the work. This is an amazing thing. I don't have to work. It's not works, lest men should boast. I don't work myself into being Christ-like. I yield my life, and he molds me as I give myself over to the altar of God, so to speak. And he does the work, and he takes a knife and says, you don't need that. You know, I watch those that work with clay and make pottery. They cut away clay. They actually use a knife, and they cut away to make shape and to make mold and use their hands and use a lot of water. To be Christ-like is allow yourself, to go through the trials, which we call the operation of God. God operates through scenarios. And those scenarios, everybody, as we learned this morning and we continue tonight, are not always what we would choose to be in that scenario, but it's God's plan. We call it suffering. We call it patience. But it says in Scripture very clearly, let's read, in Romans 5, 3 through 5, more than that, we rejoice in our what? Sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Uh-oh. How is character produced? We endure what happens in life and don't leave Christ because we know to leave Christ is to unplug and not be in a position to hang out with him and then look like him. We've been given an amazing gift. It's called life on earth. Imagine this, if you stayed in heaven, you know, you would never have any opportunity to know God as your healer because you'd never be sick. You'd lack nothing. You'd never really experience God as your provider. You would know no pressure. So there'd be no real need to put a faith in God in a time of stress or demarcated pressure in life to get his peace to get you through. There'd be no comparison to what sadness is. Enjoy because you'd never know sadness. See, you've been given an amazing gift, ladies and gentlemen. You've been given life on earth experience to find your God in experiential ways that you can only experience him on earth. See, it's not head knowledge, everybody, that gets it done. A lot of people think they're saved. A lot of people, you know, have information. Information, if it's not changed to revelation, the only way information is changed to revelation is you live it. That's the only way. Experiential salvation is God's plan, not head knowledge. How many know this? Theory without practice is useless. I don't think you want me flying your Virgin flight tomorrow morning because I don't know how to fly a plane experientially. I do in theory. How about doctor? How about the guy that studied the book but he's never held the knife? How many want to have the operation tomorrow with that person? And probably not. Oh, but they got a computer. Who cares? They've never made a hole, right? Experiential relationship is God's setup for us. Experiential relationship includes suffering. To endure in the moment produces character. God's looking at character. You know, thankfulness is an amazing point in someone's life of maturity. Only people of maturity can thank God through suffering. The immature blame God. The immature leave God. The immature blame everybody else. Thankfulness is actually an attribute, like I said this morning, of holiness. Be holy as I am holy, right? Is God thankful? You answer me. With your own voice kept quiet. Is God thankful? Yeah, sure he is. God's a thankful God. He's a God of thanksgiving. He desires our thankfulness. He desires our thanksgiving. When the pilgrims in 1612, roughly 13 really, had the first Thanksgiving, half of them died. Half of them starved. They were open to the elements, and without the Native Americans helping them hunt and understand crop growth in the New World, all of them would have died. They had a celebration for about 3 days. And they worshiped God, and they thanked God, and they actually talked to the Native American contingent, which was about 90 of them, about Christ. And there's documentation of them praying for and having a wonderful expression of Jesus through their lives. They were there because of religious freedom. They didn't want to be dictated to by the state-run churches, but wanted to worship God in freedom. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, God's given us the ability to walk in freedom, and it's with the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Colossians 3, 12 through 15, put on then. Put on means there's a choice. Doesn't say you already have on. It says put on then, choice. I didn't choose that shirt you're wearing. You chose that shirt you're wearing. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And here's the wonderful tag, and be thankful. Talking about a character development in our life in the area of thankfulness. What are you thankful for tonight? Now, most people I know, the first thing they'll go to is what God has done. Because we all love the sugar daddy in the sky moment when he gives me more money and a better car and a better job and a better husband and a better wife and a better dog and a better cat and a better, you know, tractor for all you farmers. Good on you. But there's a maturity step over when we're thankful for who he is, not what he's done. Are you thankful that he delivered you? How about saved you? How about healed you? How about molded you? How about took away that anger that was rage that would have probably got you in a murderous situation? How about greed? He took away greed and put in giving, generosity. You know, I look back on my life, amazing, where, you know, there's so much teaching on gifting, not as much teaching on character. And I'm thankful for people like John Paul Jackson and my mentor and Tom McDonald, who's gone to be with the Lord, both of them have, and others in my life that sat me down and had teaching and writings and things you can study about the character development of Christ in our life. I believe it's paramount in the day we live. I believe we're in a season that we're in a very small window of preparation for what lays ahead. I think when we cross over into this tunnel, this transition, a tunnel is a transition mechanism to go from one place to another. Once we get through the tunnel into 2019, people are going to have a rude awakening. Your prep time is over. And reality is you better grasp the water bottle because it's time to take what you've hoped for. My prayer is that the church quickly has a character development moment that we can handle in Christ-likeness what God wants to give us in the anointing. If you read Psalm 19 in correlation with 2019, you will see an amazing thing that happens, like I said, that there's going to be a possession. You read it, there's a possession, there's a taking of what is promised. 2018 is all about turmoil. How many have experienced turmoil this year or a year of pressure? Raise your hand. I want everybody to see how nuts you are. You know, admit, hey, yeah, I watched God do things. It was really rough. Eh? It always won't be like that. But again, a suffering produces something called endurance, which produces character in our life. 2019, it talks about hope is captured. It talks about that thing which we have looked for, has been possessed. If you read the inference of 19, there's the glory of God revealed. There's an inference of revival or a God moving, very pronounced. I believe we're coming into a moving of God we haven't seen in 2019. I believe that we're going to see the Word of God and prayer like we've never seen, people grasping prayer in intimacy and His Word applied to their life, the water, again, to the clay to make us pliable. I believe that God's voice is going to be clearer than we've seen this year in 2019. I believe the voice of God's going to be very strong. I believe 2020 is going to be a vision year. We're going to have new eyesight to see the vision of Christ-likeness in our ranks, but also the vision of God that unfolds before us. There will be trouble. You read Psalm 20, there's definitely trouble. Trouble's not going away. Just look at Matthew 24. Or we're not just going to have a cakewalk. We're going to have to put our faith into God and not our own ability to do stuff. We're going to have to allow the Spirit of God to mold within us maturity called the fruit of the Spirit. But also, we're going to see the plans of God released in people's hearts. And there's plans, there's purposes in people's hearts. He's getting you ready to fulfill your destiny, everybody. That's why you're on earth. You all have a specific purpose. And I believe in 2020, we're going to see purposes fulfilled and realized through the revealing of God's sovereignty. And we are going to have more opportunity than we do today to put our trust in Him, trust me. I love the amazing illustration of Anna in Scripture. Anna is an incredible two-verse mentioned woman. Luke chapter 2, 36 through 38, you read it. Now, if Anna was 12 years old, like most Jewish girls, maybe 13, was married. She was only married 7 years, and she becomes a widow. 13 plus 7 is 20. 12 plus 7 is 19. She's 84 years old when we read this scripture, and she's serving God in the temple day and night with prayer and fasting, and she's called a prophetess. Never records her prophecies. However, it records her thankfulness. She was one who gave thanksgiving to God. She gets to see the promises she's waiting for fulfilled in seeing the Christ child. Day and night, she's 84. Let's say she's 20. 64 years serving God without seeing the promise. And then one day, there he is. The promise of God realized, the hope now grasp. Remember, if you got it, you don't have to hope for it. There's no expectation. You already have it. She's a woman of thankfulness. She's a woman who was the daughter of the face of God. Her father's name, Phanuel, or Phanuel, however you want to pronounce, means face of God. She was a daughter of the face of God. How about you? Are you a son and daughter of the face of God? Have you tonight decided that I'm going to be devout no matter how long or how wide or how far or how deep or what life brings or what suffering or endurance I have to obtain? The hope of Christ, can I say the character of Christ? She was definitely a woman that would have spoken about future things and probably accurately with truth. You're not called a prophetess unless you are one. She's called that by the Holy Spirit, through the writer Luke, who's a very detailed man, being a physician, and gives us some of the most detailed accounts of the four Gospels. She's from the tribe of Asher. Tribe of Asher was a lost tribe. It was a tribe from the north. However, this woman knows her identity in the midst of people not knowing who they're, what tribe they're from. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know where you're from? Do you know who you belong to? Do you know who's being molded into your life? It's Christ. She knew her lineage. Somewhere she obtained, she retained. Hey, I'm from this tribe. This tribe's lost, but I'm not a lost one of the tribe. How about you? Are you a lost Christian? Or do you know that who you are in Christ and you're a found believer? You're a believing believer of who you're really called to be, molded into. And so she's a woman that gives us insight in an illustrated way of a believer who is hanging on, not out of desperation, but thriving through 6 decades. You know, I found out a little bit about myself. Sometimes when it doesn't happen in an hour, I get a little edgy. My prayer's not answered in a day. Come on, God, stamp it up. This go, Holmes. I just prayed that prayer an hour ago. How about you? How about you? Oh, what's your timeline? What's your inference to that? She has a thankful heart. She has the good news. She's day and night living. She would have been homeless, everybody. She was a person who had lost a husband, lost the means of income, of being taken care of and supported, and her house was the house of the Lord. Can I say her trust was found in the house in the presence of God? How about you? Can I say without Christ, we're homeless? Christ is our home. His calling in our life is our devotion. It's our job. You can do all sorts of job, you know? I don't really care what you do. I do, but not compared to being a believer who's going after God, enduring suffering so you can have character produced. Because I got to tell you, God's not into wimpy Christianity. He's into producing trees that have amazing root systems. Now, this is something that I just shared with the prophetic roundtable. We meet on Thursdays, all sorts of prophets and prophetesses and different voices from different places and spaces with faces that are different. And so, you know, God, in his wonderful design, has likened humanity to trees. Psalm 1:1, Judges 9, Jesus heals the guy and his eyes are touched and he sees men walking as trees. There's all sorts of inferences to humanity with an illustration with trees. And trees have this amazing cycle. And where I'm from, we have 4 distinctive seasons. It's not hot and hotter. We actually have, you know, autumn is autumn and winter is winter and spring is spring and summer is summer. And they all look different and they all feel different. And the tree, the greatest growth in any tree is winter. The actual pressure and the frost line and what happens to that tree, the duress of that tree, makes the tree's root system force the tree to go deeper, to expand. Now, you never see any growth in winter in a tree because everything that's growth is underground. Can't see it. However, come springtime and summer, you see the growth because the branches, the new growth on the tree, the fruit, it all shows what's happened underneath, what people can't see. It shows in everybody's view of how really that tree has grown. It's the same with your life. You might be in a winter right now. You might be in a winter season. Some of you might be in autumn or spring or summer. We're not all at the same season simultaneously. But when those pressures come, when those seasons come where, you know, we're being buffeted, where there's suffering, there's trial, there's pressure, your root system in Christ and his amazing working in our life to mold us into his image is happening, whether you have people realizing that or not. But there'll be a season when you get through your winter season, people will notice, hey, you've grown. Hey, you look different. You talk different. You're thinking different. You're reacting different. Matter of fact, you're not reacting. You're just acting. You're being led more by the Holy Spirit. And you've actually allowed your soul to get the water it needed in the Spirit, in the Word, and you're being more like Christ than I've ever seen before. You actually have produced in your life, the Holy Spirit has produced, you've allowed it, the fruit of the Spirit. God's looking for maturity. Hallelujah. What's our part to play? Yes, it is. Say what? I said, yeah, that's right. What do I have to do? Yes. That's what you have to say. That has to be your action. Yes, Lord. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever you want, Lord. I want to be on your altar. Take the scalpel. Take the knife to my heart, to my flesh. Cut away the clay I don't need. Lord, let me mature. Let me, you know, scripture that Paul mentioned, you know, pray for wisdom. You know, ask the Lord to take any information of him and make it revelation, because the Spirit of God wants to breathe on your information you know about God, but have you actually live it out? It becomes lived revelation. And that's where the anointing really comes from. It's not from head knowledge. It's where you experience Christ and know him for yourself. That's where the anointing is released to touch others. Not from some book, but your life being the book that God writes upon the pages of your life, an experiential relationship. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we just praise you and thank you that we're a people who are maturing, that you want to develop your character in our life. Lord God, that you want to change our heart. You want to, Lord, mold us and make us to be more Christ-like in all areas. And Lord, we yield ourselves and say, yes, God, we want to be mature believers, believing believers. Lord, we want the fruit of the Spirit more evident in our life. We want to grow in wisdom. May it be so. Lord, we want to know you. We want to be changed so that when people see us, they recognize Jesus lives within us. Lord, like us looking like one another, and Lord, that day when we just look like you. I thank you for what you're doing in Melbourne. I thank you what you're doing in Australia. I thank you that we are transitioning, and someday we will realize, not just hope for, but we will have obtained, Lord, the real demarcated, real deal, dinky die, true blue revival you desire for this nation. We'll be a part of it. We'll be, Lord, amongst it, hoping continuously for your return and the peace of Jerusalem. We praise you and thank you, Lord. All glory to your name. We just say, go, God, go in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you real good. Have a great week. If you need prayer, we can pray with you. Say hi to somebody and continue to ask God to reveal himself and for it to become experienced, his life in you. God bless you.